Bibles out tonight, and let's go on over there to the book of Ecclesiastes. And tonight, we're going to be in Ecclesiastes chapter 6. Let's go ahead and I'll tell you what, just go ahead and sit down tonight because we're going to be going verse by verse again. And so we won't be standing to read the Word of God tonight. But this is a short chapter, only 12 verses tonight. Ecclesiastes chapter 6. I sure have been enjoying preaching and teaching through the book of Ecclesiastes on Sunday night. Amen. And I hope that you have. I believe it was timely for us. We're getting it pre-revival and post-revival. This is about how life is under the sun. And a man that experienced life to the fullest, Solomon. And he comments about it, that it's all vain, it's all vanity, there's nothing to it. It's all going to leave you empty, it's going to leave you feeling shallow inside. If all that you have to look forward to is what you can get your hands on and obtain and be a part of and do in this life, I can tell you one thing, it's going to leave you empty. It's not what, listen, where it at is not below the sun. It's above the sun. And we don't have the right relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't have that right relationship. It's all futile down here. Now, verses 1 through 2 tonight, we're going to talk about the vanity of success without health. And verses 3 through 6, we're going to talk about the vanity of old age. Everybody nowadays wants to try to live longer, and there's such an emphasis put on health and losing weight and getting fit. Hey, man, that's good. We all need to get in better shape. Fine if the Lord wants you to live long. But living long, it don't matter how long you live. If it ain't a quality of life and you get to the end of your life and you draw your last breath, say, man, I lived 120 years old and tonight I'm dying and going to hell. Yeah, what good has that done? Amen. And then we're going to look at the vanity of earthly desires, verses 7 through 12 tonight. I'm going to ask Brother Steve Dowdy to please pray for this teaching and preaching tonight, and we'll get on with it. Yes, Lord, help us. Amen. Yes. Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. Yes. Yes. Amen. Mm. Mm. Yes. 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 Mm. Yes. Yes. Help us. Yes, Lord. Amen. Amen. All right. Let's look at the first two verses tonight. Ecclesiastes chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. As we look at the vanity of success without help. Notice what Solomon says, there is an evil which I have seen under the sun, and it is common among men. Now he's saying this thing I'm fixing to speak to you about is something that I've seen a lot, is something that happens a lot. Verse number 2, a man to whom God hath given riches, wealth, and honor, so that he wanteth nothing for his soul of all that he desireth, yet God giveth him not power to eat thereof, but a stranger eateth it. This is vanity. It is an evil disease. What Solomon says, he says, I've seen this. This is what I've seen a lot in my life. A fella becomes a success, at least a success in the eyes of the world. And maybe he has everything or most everything that he desires. But it winds up where God doesn't get, after all that fella achieves all that stuff, it winds up where God doesn't give that fella the time and the health or the life to enjoy it. And then he goes on and says, you know, to add insult to injury, a stranger winds up enjoying his surplus. A stranger comes up there and gets that. And the man dies. Now, this is something that Solomon's looking back and he's thinking, what a waste. Why would a fellow work so hard and try to achieve and try to get something? And then when he finally gets there, He finally achieves, he finally makes something out of himself. Something happens. Something goes wrong. God allows something where he doesn't have the power to go on and enjoy that and to be fulfilled by that. And Solomon's looking at that and he's saying, man, this thing, he says, it's an evil disease is what he says about it. Everybody look up here at me tonight. Let me tell you something. This thing does happen a lot. And that's why you and I are wasting our time putting our emphasis on things that we stored up here on this earth. You never know when it's going to happen to me or you. How many people have you known of that were making a good living, going along there doing great? One accident on the job. One car running through an intersection. One heart attack. One stroke. How many of you know there was guys on top of it? He's on top of his field and what he does. Everything's fine. Dies instantly. He gets up one day coughing, goes to the doctor. He's got stage 4 cancer. He's just going to live a few more months. Listen, folks, that's life. That's life. And the wisest man that ever lived says, it's a vain thing to think about success because you never know if you're going to have the health and the time to enjoy it. Now, we know that whatever we lay up above the sun, not below it, but above the sun, we're going to have time to enjoy that. We're going to have a perfect body, a healthy body, an eternal body. But we want to focus on this down here. Solomon says it's vanity. It's vanity. I've seen a lot more than you have. Solomon knew a lot more people than we did. He said, I'm going to tell you, you keep focusing on that. You don't know what's going to happen to you. And you work your whole life to enjoy it. And what's going to happen is something's going to happen to you. And you can't even enjoy it down here on earth. But you've been so fixated and focused on putting it on down here on earth. Now you don't enjoy it on earth. But you also ain't got nothing up in heaven to enjoy. That's what happens. It happens all the time. That's the vanity of success without health. Again, we're going to look at the vanity of old age. Everybody wanting to live longer. I don't know if I want to live longer or not. What? Do you realize that some people have a stroke and live 20 and 30 years in a nursing home? Do you realize that? Everybody's focused now on the, boy, this is an exercise. Listen. Again, I know what somebody's thinking. You fat, and that's why you preach against exercise. No. We all need to exercise. Listen, we need to exercise. We need to eat better. We need to get our body in shape. I need to be more like my wife. My wife had a happy day today. She got on the scale and she's hit her weight that she was trying to get to. And she let me know it, and she's bragging and trying to make me feel bad. I come in a building, there I got this beautiful woman. I know how old she is. If I tell you, she'll get mad with me. She looks so young, and yeah, see that? She looks so young and pretty, and then here I come behind her like an old penguin. You know, she's stuck with me. But hey, man. What does it matter if you live 100 years and go to hell? What does it matter if you live 100 years and 30 of them you messed up? Quality is more than quantity. And old age doesn't mean anything except that you just live longer than the average fella does. That's all that means. It don't guarantee you nothing else. Look there in verse number 3. If a man begat 100 children and live many years, so that the days of his years be many. I mean, he's lived long enough, he's got 100 children. That's a lot of children. And his soul be not filled with good, and also that he have no burial, I say that an untimely birth is better than he. You know what Solomon's saying? Now you got to remember, again, Solomon's looking at things under the earth. He's looking at them as a human being living on the earth. He's not taking into account spiritual things and a life ever after in many cases. Sometimes he brings it in there, and he does when it's appropriate. But he's looking at it as life under the sun. And he says this. He says, You can have all the children you want to, which is great. You can have a long life. You can have money. It doesn't matter if the soul be not filled with good, is what he says. You know what that means? It doesn't matter how good things look on the outside, what you're experiencing on the outside, if things aren't right on the inside. And I'm telling you, this country's full of people, brother. And how I know that is there's people every day that's multimillionaires, that's got a couple of sports cars in the garage, and they live in a $750,000, $800,000 home, and they're at the top of their game in their business, and boy, they wear a nice suit and everywhere they go, and folks just think a lot of them, and they check into hotel rooms every day and blow their brains out. Amen. That's right. They do it. What he's saying is that an untimely birth doesn't experience that sorrow and pain. In a way, what he's saying is that a fellow would be better off if he'd never even been born than to be born and go through what people go through sometime on life. In life. Look at verses 4 and 5. He's talking about this baby here. For he cometh in with vanity and departeth in darkness, and his name shall be covered with darkness. Moreover, he hath not seen the sun, nor known anything. This hath more rest than the other. He said that the baby, he says he doesn't get, he's an untimely birth. He dies. He doesn't get to see anything or experience anything. He doesn't see the sun. He doesn't know anything, but he doesn't suffer anything. This is the wisest man that ever lived said that. He said, man, you're better off as a baby. Going on out and being with the Lord Jesus Christ. I know this is especially dear to Miss Dell and her family right now. We've talked about some of this stuff and what's been going on in her family. And I tell you, one encouragement is we know that baby's with the Lord. That sweet, beautiful baby will never, ever have to go through any of the stuff that all of us are going through right now. That baby's not going to have a backache. That baby's not going to have a knee ache. That baby will never have diabetes. That baby will never have cancer. That baby's never going to be laid up in the hospital. You have to think about things like that. And that's what he's trying to say. What does it matter? What does it matter? Listen. You can be in the best health in the world. You can have good genes, and I think that some of that stuff is just good genetics, and you can live a long time. But what does it matter if you live a life of misery? What does it matter if you live a life that means nothing for God? It don't mean anything. You know, I was talking to my wife one time, and, you know, by the time my wife was 28, she had lost both her parents. And I think that's a horrible tragedy. I think it's a bad thing for several reasons. For my wife, for my son, you know, him being able to remember his grandparents. I love my wife's parents. They were good to me. We never had a cross word. All these mother-in-law and father-in-law jokes, I mean, they don't apply to me because I got along with them so good. And they were just wonderful. But I told her one time because, you know, even though my wife wasn't brought up in a Christian home, she was brought up in a very good home. And her mom and daddy were very close, had a great marriage. And my wife has about a normal of a childhood as anybody I've ever met. There was no dysfunction, no arguing and fussing. Her dad took her out to breakfast every Saturday. There's peace, and you know, in the home, and they love one another. They went on vacations. They done stuff for one another. You know what I told her one time? I said, I know it's bad. I said, I hate it for you, honey. I said, but it's better. It would be better to have a short time with parents like that than to live a long time with parents that don't even give a rip about you. Amen. To have parents around that you're not happy about, that disappoint you. I'm learning more and more to this life is quality. Then the older I get, the more my quality is leaving. That's one good thing about, and I'll go on here in a moment, I can't wait to get my new body. The thing that I miss the most, you say, what's the one thing you'd like to do? I would like to get in that highway right now and just take off. I mean, just run where your cheeks are doing that. I used to love to run. And for a big fella, I could run, buddy. I'm not talking about now, if you run 2 or 3 miles, okay, I'm talking about sprinting, man. I'm talking about just getting down and just, boom, just taking off. And I remember how that was, man, taking off and, man, your old calf muscles throbbing and your arms getting it. And only thing throbbing on me now is my guts. Man, I wish I could just take off and run fast one more time. Just, wow! Yeah, I wouldn't get very far. I'd have to call the rescue squad down here. Be 911, what's the nature of your emergency? My preacher's falling and he can't get up. And he's in the middle of the low angle road and there's a bunch of drunks flying through here when he help. But, so listen, I'm saying all this. There are worse things than dying. Sometimes dying is one of the best things that can happen to you. If it's a Christian, if you're a Christian, I guess, it's always the best thing that can happen to you. Boy, if you're laying there and suffering, are you heading for a life of suffering? It don't matter how long you live if you don't have quality of life. Verse 6, yea, though he live 1,000 years twice told, yet hath he seen no good. Do not all go to one place. They all go back to the earth. And that's what he's saying. It does not matter how long you live if you don't enjoy your life. Quality, not quantity. Quality comes only with the right relationship with God, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how you get quality of life. Listen, it's got absolutely nothing to do with money or how long you live or health or anything else. It's just, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Is he sweet to you? Are you walking in daily fellowship with him? That's what makes life worth living. And you can, that can be absent from you, and you can have everything else, but you'll be miserable. Miserable in your life. And then we're going to look at tonight the vanity of earthly desires. The vanity of earthly desires. Verses 7 through 12. Verse number 7. All the labor of a man is for his mouth, and yet the appetite is not filled. You know why you have to keep on eating? You never stop eating until you, if you stop eating, eventually you're going to die. The appetite, the flesh, is never satisfied. Earthly desires are never satisfied. The appetite of the flesh is insatiable. It's just on and on and on. You're never satisfied. You're never full. And that's one thing that makes earthly desires such a vain thing. You ain't never going to get enough. You're never going to get what you want. You're never going to get enough. There's always going to be something bigger and better. You folks that hunt and fish, you know this. You folks that are in computers, you know this. You folks that are in design and making your house look good, you know this. About the time you add on a new room or you paint that house a new color, within a couple of years, that color's out of style or you get tired of it. You folks that are into buying new vehicles all the time, you know this. That's why you have to keep buying one all the time. Listen, it don't satisfy. It never satisfies. You folks that are really into collecting shoes and flip-flops, you know that. And that's why you have to keep buying pair after pair after pair after pair. It don't satisfy. You know what you are? You like that old rock song by U2. You still haven't found what you're looking for. You're just going along there trying to find something else. How long will it take and how much money are you going to have to spend for you to find out it don't work?
Amen.
There ain't nothing else. There ain't nothing else. There's only one thing. That's the right relationship. And after you're saved, fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I found what I'm looking for, bless God. I know what it'll do for you. I know what it'll change and the peace it'll give and the comfort it'll give and the assurance it'll give and the satisfaction that it gives. It's all I need. Boy, after you start feasting on it a long time, you'll be all you want. You know, I don't really want nothing. My wife gets upset sometimes and throws out some of my holy socks. I told her, don't be throwing out my holy socks. I'm a holy man. I need to be wearing holy socks. And along with that, holy drawers. And holy t-shirts. And that stuff matters to me. It just don't matter to me. And I want this, people want that, and I gotta Listen, man, I got the same old fishing rods I've had for years. I ain't bought a gun in years. I don't need nothing else. I don't need anything else. I like and enjoy and love what I have. I got my old rocking chair. I don't want another rocking chair. I want that one to stay together. I don't like change in my life. My wife, you better be glad of that. My wife does like change. I come in, I'll be going out doing something one day and come in one day and go, whoa, is this my house? Oh, yeah, she just rearranged the furniture. I'm like, what? Amen, brother. I'm like, what in the world was wrong with the way it was? Maybe this lesson's for you tonight, baby. Hope so. But the appetite of the flesh is never satisfied. Listen, take it from the man that knew. Take it from Solomon. He knew, man. He knew. Verse number 8. For what hath the wise more than the fool? What hath the poor that knoweth to walk before the living? Whether you're wise, whether you're unwise, whether you're poor, whether you're rich, you all, listen, we're all going back to the dust. If in this life only we have hope, we are of all men most miserable. Who said that? Paul. If all you have is hope in this life, you're miserable, and one day you're going to be sadly disappointed, but you're probably already living disappointed. Because the world in this life never gives you what you think it's going to give you. It doesn't do it. Verse number 9, better is the sight of the eyes than the wandering of the desire. This is also vanity and vexation of spirit. There's a saying in the world that a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. You know, seeing is better than daydreaming and coveting things you don't have. Wandering of the desire, it says. The TV is set up and the computer and the movies and the commercials and the radio always out there to put something in your mind and your heart that you'll want something. And that's what we're always, everybody's always wanting something. That's what he's talking about there. He says, better is the sight of the eyes than the wandering of the desire. And I tell you what we have, a lot of Christians have the wandering of the desire. Just, boy, if I could just get this, just get that. What? You know, well, I don't want to get too personal or whatever. Let me just say, the next greatest, best, this is what you need, there's nothing like it. It's not going to do it. It's not going to do it. I promise you, it will get old, it will get outdated. It will be of no function anymore. I saw a documentary on Henry Ford, and it took years for them to talk Henry Ford out of just making Model Ts. He said, what we need to do is quit making all these. We just need to keep making Model Ts and making them inexpensive. That's what we need to get pull this company back up out of the rut us in is Model Ts. Well, he thought the age had come where everything just about had got as good as it was going to get. He couldn't imagine things being so much better than the old Model T. And now look at the cars we have compared to the Model T. And if the Lord don't come back 15 years from now, you'll go, ooh, what an outdated piece of junk. You will, I won't. I like my truck. I like my car. I'm working hard to keep my van running. Got 250,000 miles, glory to God. Verse number 10. Now, there's always something to want. That which hath been is named already, and is known that it is man. Neither may he contend with him that is mightier than he. Ecclesiastes 1:9, we already covered it, tells us there's nothing new under the sun. Listen, things come, things go, and they repeat. That word man there, that Hebrew word for that is Adam. And that which has been, that's man's history it's talking about. It's named already. Things have already been made known. No matter what man does, God has the last say. No man can contend with God. That's what he says there in verse number 10. Neither may he contend with him that is mightier than he. You can't contend with God. What are you going to do? You're going to say, God, you gave me a bad deal here. Or God, I want this stuff to pan out. Or God, I want these things here to play out like I want them to here on this earth. Or God, let me reason. You're not going to be able to do it. That's why you shouldn't be focused on the earth. We should be focused on what's on this earth. God has the last say. In verse number 11, I want you to understand that more isn't better always. Seeing there be many things that increase vanity, what is man the better? Man's not the better with more things. They just increase more vanity, more junk, more money, more stuff, more hours, more time, more work. More, 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 but inside you're feeling less, 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 less. Less time with your children, less time with your spouse, less time at church, less time with God, less time in the Bible, less time in prayer, less time witnessing, less time giving, less time fellowshipping with the saints. Yeah, you're getting more of the world and you're getting less of God. That's the way it always goes. You're going to do it. You're going to do it or bust. But you're going to bust. When you bust, it may just bust your marriage up. It may just bust your family up. It doesn't just affect you. It affects everybody else. More just brings on more disappointment. It just don't satisfy. Man isn't better. He attains riches, but he can't fully enjoy them. He dies and he goes back to the dirt. Physical appetite that cannot be permanently satisfied. I always want more. Coveting things you can't obtain. You can't win an argument with God. Man is not the better for achieving earthly desires. When are we going to learn this? When are we going to... Listen, you know what I want out of this study? We've got one more verse tonight. This is not a long chapter. We'll go home in a minute. You know what I want desperately out of this study? Everybody, please look up here at me. You say, what is the one goal above all the goals that you have for teaching and preaching the next few months out of the book of Ecclesiastes on Sunday night? It's that you will not just hear it, but you'll live it. And the thing that I'm afraid of the most with this church, you are good people. I'm not trying to be ugly. I love you. And it's because I love you, I'm going to tell you this. I fear that you're going to come. You're going to enjoy the preaching and teaching. You're going to enjoy it. You're going to shake your head. I'm going to make some good practical points. I'm going to make some good scriptural points. And the Holy Spirit's in you, and you've had enough experience in your life. And you live long enough, you're going to say, that's right, preacher. Amen, preacher. I agree with that. You sure said it right there. Yes, sir. That's right. These young folks need to hear. Yes, yes, yes. Amen, amen. But you're not going to change one thing in your life. You're not. You're not. And to me, except that I'm just obeying God, which is the most important thing, to me it's going to be all that prayer, all that time, all that study, all that energy for nothing. Verse number 12. For who knoweth what is good for man in this life? All the days of his vain life which he spendeth as a shadow. For who can tell a man what should be after him under the sun? God can. And we know what the Bible tells us, that what life after death is heaven or hell. But now you've got to remember again, he's speaking as a man sees on the earth, as a man sees living, as a man that's never experienced death, just what he can have right then and there under the sun. That's how you have to take Solomon. That's how you have to take this. Because sometimes he says some things that seems to contradict some doctrines in the Bible, and it don't. It's just that he's looking at it in an earthly way as compared to some statements made in the Bible, looking at it in a heavenly way, in an eternal way. He's looking at it in just a physical way. And God knows what's going on, but man don't. God knows what is good for man on earth. God knows what's going on earth. Way, listen, way after I'm gone and I'm dead and I'm away from here, if Jesus Christ hadn't come back, God completely knows and God is completely in control of what's going on here. But I ain't. Life is like a shadow there. He mentions that word shadow. It's brief. It's vain life. And you know how you sum all this up tonight? Life truly is vain. Life without the Lord Jesus Christ is all in vain. And what he's saying is, look, man, you don't know when your health is going to be gone. It don't matter how long you live. It don't matter what things you collect and do. You don't know when God may take your health. You don't know what's going to happen to you in the future. What does it matter if you live a long time and you die and you're not right spiritually? He says, look, what about all these earthly desires? Go run after it. Go try to get it. Go try to collect it. Go try to accumulate more. Focus all your mind, your heart, your soul, your strength on it. The bottom line is one day you're going to die. You're going back to the earth just like that old poor peasant does over there. And then it's going to be over. And the only chance you ever will have in eternity to put up treasures in heaven will be over. And some of you, to be old poor people raised out in the country, you've done pretty good now. You've got on up in years. You've got a little money in the bank. You got your house, a few cars and vehicles, maybe some land. And you'd look and say, boy, I worked hard and God's blessed me. Yes, he has. But you know what the problem is tonight? You've got something down here on earth, but you're bankrupt in heaven. But you ain't going to change. I'm going to get up here Sunday night after Sunday night. I'm going to be loaded for bear. Just like I said this morning, I'm going to teach it and preach it. And when we get to that very last verse, and Solomon sums it up over there in chapter 12, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. And I tell you what it is. It'll be over. And I'll be done my part. And I just wonder what a difference it would have made in anybody's life. Why don't you start tonight in the pew at the altar and say, God in heaven, please, 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 as we go through Ecclesiastes, help me to be a doer of the word and not a hearer only, deceiving myself. Every head bowed and eye closed, I'm asked Darby if she would, just anything, just quickly.